bees and shofim, it says Limon Mocharos. And the very next day, so the people went out to the field. Abimelech was told what was happening, right? Everything that there was all there. I mean, they thought they were through, right? Gaal and all the people of Shechem had basically been killed in this war, right? The people of Shechem were no longer, you know, were no longer a threat to Abimelech. So it felt like everything was over. But Abimelech was a cruel individual. He did not care for people at all. He took his men, he divided them up into three different heads. Then he ambushed in the field. There were people come out from the city. He killed everyone who walked out of the city, man, woman, child, anything. The people that were with Abimelech, they stood by the gate of the city of Shechem, as well as the two other heads that they had. They went out to all the fields by Akum, and they destroyed anybody who lived in the field. Not only did they go and they kill the people that were living in Shechem or coming out of Shechem, even the farmers who were out in the fields who had nothing to do with this war, they destroyed everyone around. He waged war against the city all that day, and he captured the city and all the people in there. He killed them all, but he told the Israel. And he captured the city, knocked down the city, and he planted it with salt. Now, planting with salt does not mean that he literally took salt and spread it all over the fields, okay? He did not do that. Salt was a symbolic idea where the fields should not be planted ever again. They salted the area after the base of Mikdash was destroyed in order to say that this land should never grow ever again. It was a concept. It was not a real thing. There was nothing behind it. And Pasuk Men Vav...
Of stopping these from being bad.
I mean, it does work, but it doesn't really work because the salt gets swallowed up by the ground and then the ground starts growing again. It only works for a year or two, maybe. So, no, it's a symbolic act. It's just to say that it was salted, that we salted the field. Also, it would take a long time. How much salt do you have? Anyway, by Yishuv Kobali Migdal Shechem, by the old Sriach Beis El Bris. Okay, so all the people of Shechem heard, Tower of Shechem, they came to the stronghold at the house of Beis El Bris. This is the house of El Bris. Baal Bris was the god of it. It was a quote unquote holy place. By Yugal Avimelech, he's got to go back to Migdal Shechem. They gathered all there. By Avimelech, Har Talmon, who will hold on my grave. So he went to Har Talmon, him and all the people. By Yikach Avimelech, the Kadumos, the other, they took axes in their hands. The Yichros, Sokhat, ate them. They cut down big branches of wood. But he said, they carried them, Yisrael al Shechmo, he put it on his shoulder, Yugalam, he said to the Yoshimo, Mari Isef, whatever you see, Asisi, I have done Maharu Asu Kamoni. I want you guys to do exactly like me. Everybody cut down branches. They went after Abimelech and they put it by the tower. They burned the entire tower in a fire. Everybody that was in that tower died, all 1,000 men and women. It was crazy. I don't know. Like, I didn't know what the people should do. Meaning, if they stayed inside, they were going to burn to death. If they walked outside, they were cut down by the entire army of Abimelech. So they had no choice. Either burn to death in the tower, or they were killed by Abimelech's men who were standing outside there. So that's what happened. Be'elech Abimelech Teven, Teves, I'm sorry, the city of Teves, Yicham Teves, he captured it. Migdal Oz, I just saw here. They also had a big tower in the city. All the men, the women, and all the people of the city went to Yisku Ba'adam. They closed it up by Yalu Al Gag and Migdal, and they stood on the tower, the roof of the tower. He came to the tower, he waged war with it. He came to the opening of the Migdal, the circle of the Asian, wanted to burn it in a fire. One woman threw down her spindle on the head of Abimelech, and it broke through his skull. He quickly went to the child who was carrying his Caleb. Take out your sword, most Sani, and kill me. Because they don't want anybody to say that a woman killed him. So he took out his sword and he killed him. It didn't work. That didn't matter. Because the Navi says that a woman killed him. So he didn't want people to talk about it, but he went too far. Here's the idea. Abimelech should have killed Shechem. Okay, he felt Shechem was against him. I hear that. But he went too far and always going to other cities and trying to capture other cities. That's what Akadosh Baruch Hu said, way too far. Teves did nothing to you. Teves has nothing against you. He didn't do anything to you. They didn't do anything to you. So why are you going? This was absolutely cruel. Because of his cruelty, the stone that was thrown on him was similar to the stone that he shechted his 70 brothers on at the very beginning. Remember, he took 70 of his brothers and he shechted them on one stone. That was the idea behind it, that he was going to be killed in that way. But in the end, he was killed with a sword because it's unbelievable. It's possible. possible he might have lived with that stone that hit him on the head. Possible. He might have been hit badly, but he was still alive. He might have lived, but he didn't want to be known as being hit by a woman. So out of his own pride, he asked the kid to kill him. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Now, Yeru Ish Yisrael, all the people of Israel saw that Amminadab, they all went home. They didn't care. They could care less about this tower. They didn't care at all. That woman must have been awesome. By Yashav Elohim is Ross Abimelech Hashem Asal Aviv, God returned the evil Abimelech did that he had done to his father, Laur Vashib Acha, that he had killed his 670 brothers. That was the evil he did to his father, Gino. They called Ross Anshe Shechem, Heshav Elohim Baroshem, and also the people of Shechem, went right back on them. Etovalim Kilas Yosef Ben Yerubal, Yosef, the son of Gino, all of their curses went right back to him. That was the idea behind it. All right, guys, we're on to Parak Yud. Now we're on to a good part. We're going to end, Tolu Bempua, we'll see. There were two shows that we're not going to talk about much, but here. V'yokamachar Abimelech L'shias Yisrael, Tolu Bempua. After Abimelech, Tolu Bempua came up to save Ben Yisrael. Ben Dodo Ish Yisachar. Now there's a kasha who Dodo is. It could be the son of his uncle was a man of Yisachar. It could be also that Dodo was his actual name. Either way, he's Ish Yisachar. V'yoshe B'Shamir, Baharavayim. He lived in Shamir and Haravayim. Now, the interesting part about this, what does the word Tolas mean in Hebrew?
A worm.
What does the word Shamir mean in Hebrew? Shamir is also a worm. Remember, the Shamir worm was the one that's used to build the base of Mikdash. Pua. What does the word Pua mean? It is a vegetable that is well known for its worminess. Tola ben Pua, says the Gemara, was very into his learning. And he made himself like a worm when it came to learning Torah. He bent over backwards for any Talmud Chacham that he could learn from. And that's what made him so great. He ruled for 23 years. He died and he was buried in a Shamir. Good guy. Another good guy. Yair the Giladite from Menashe. He ruled for 22 years. He had 30 sons that rode on 30 donkeys. They had 30 cities that belonged to them. The Amalei says that it's the way of the pasuk to use poetic license, to use the word ayarim for donkeys, and then ayarim for cities. Even though it didn't have to do that, it could have said chamorim and irim. But it said it that way. Lahem yikru chavos yair. He called them chavos yair, the cities of yair. Adi yomazet, zedesh averes gilad, but yomas yair by yikaver bekamon. He was buried in Kamon, and that's what it was as well. These villages of Yair were the same cities of Yair ben Menashe from the times of all the way back from when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Remember, Yair ben Menashe was one of the people that were killed in the war against the Ai. This was the same cities of Yair that were abandoned when Yair died. They were rebuilt by the sons of this Yair. Some say it was the exact same guy. And he lived for over 300 years. Very hard to say that, but you could have been saying that. I'm sorry? So it wouldn't be. Yeah, that was just one opinion. This is the other way of saying it. But that's what was it. It's the same Yair ben Menashe. Where was he up until now?
Maybe his name was changed right by the Navi because he conquered this area and called it Yair, so maybe him Yair, reestablishing what's
good call. That could very well be because he did that, and that's one of the reasons why it's called that way. Just if it's the same Yair ben Menashe, like somebody showed him say, that's very, it's very hard. I mean, obviously we're talking about a 350-year-old guy. Could be even more than that. I mean, if he was Yair ben Menashe, he's Menashe's son. Okay. Either way, wasn't Baba Yosef ben Israel lost to Rabbi Hashem. Of course, they again did evil in the eyes of Hashem. They served Baal and Ashtoreth. That's Elohei Aram. That's Elohei Shidom. That's Elohei Moab. Hold on. That's Elohei Bnei Amon. That's Elohei Plishim. Yasmos Hashem Lo'avadu. They served these seven gods: Baalim, Ashtoreth, Elohei Aram, Elohei Shidom, Elohei Moab, Elohei Bnei Amon, Elohei Plishim, and they forsook God and they did not serve Him. Now, why seven altogether? If you look at Parshas Bukhukosai, when it goes through the curses, it says, "If you're over me seven times, if you do seven times, then I'm going to go against you seven times." Quite often the word seven is mentioned there. And that's why we get into in this over anything else. Baal Bris, by the way, was their big Baal that they were into.
Pattern?
What?
Is there a pattern there by the gods that they worship?
The gods that they worship?
Yeah, is there a pattern? I mean, they worship the same god. The same god. Before and after, and they were punished.
Usually it's the same god of the nation that they had just fought against. Usually that was it. So no, not always is there a pattern, but usually that's what ended up happening over here. Some say the seven times that we refer to over here is referring to seven judges that they had up until now, although we are skipping some of the judges. We're definitely not including Abimelech, right? But all altogether, you have Osmio Ben Kenaz, Ehud Ben Gera, Shamgar Ben Hanas, Kibor and Abiyah, Gidon, Skip Avimelech, Tola Ben Pua, and Yair Agilazi. That's seven people altogether. That's what you have over here. By the way, Baal Baris was an interesting little guy. He's not like Baal Shmuel or Baal Shaphon or Baal Pahor, but he was his own guy that everybody was very, very happy with. Anyway, Puzzle Zion, by Yehovah Hashem Yisrael, God gets... Yeah, that's 100% true. Meaning there were many Baalim, many Ashtaros, many Elohei Aram, etc. It says, by Yehovah Hashem Yisrael and Puzzle Zion, he got very angry, great, the Apolishim, the Apolishim, they were sold into the hands of the Apolishim, as well as the people of Ammon. Now, they're not going to fight the Apolishim now. The Plishtim are going to be fought against the next time around, and we'll see that coming up by Shemshel. But now, Bnei Ammon were the worst. By your Atsu, by your Rotsu, as Bnei Israel. Now, look at the wording over here. It does not say they killed. It says they oppressed. That's the word Ro'atz. Really, it's trampled upon. Yerotzitzu is really they enslaved Bnei Israel Bashanahi. Shmona Esrei Shana for 18 years is called Bnei Israel Shabbat Evra Yardim, Eretz Amoriah Shabbat Gilad. All the Jews are on the other side of the Jordan River. By Yavu Bnei Ammon is the Yardim, and then they crossed over to the Jordan River. We welcome Gam Yehudu Ben Yamin based Ephraim Vatitzel Yisrael Ma'od. They wanted to wage war against Yehuda Ben Yamin and Ephraim toward the bottom of Eretz Yisrael, and it was very bad for the Jews. So that was the idea behind it. It was that year that Yair Agilazi died. That's when they immediately, they were so quick to worship idolatry, so they were so quick to eventually, you know, be enslaved, or to be enslaved right after that. The longer that these Ammonim were in charge, they did cooler and cooler things, as we'll see. By Zaku Ben Yisrael Hashem, they cried out, Bnei Israel said to Hashem, saying, we have sinned to you. We have forsaken our God. We have served the Baal. From Egypt, from the Amori, from the Bnei Ammon, from the Plishim, the Sidonim, Amalek, Maon, and they have oppressed you. But Sakwaylan, you cried out, I saved you. That time of was you keep forsaking you serve other gods. Said God, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to keep doing this. Go cry out to your own gods that you have chosen. They should save you at your time of need. Obviously, it's sort of like sarcastic, but sorry is not enough this time. That's what Kaddish Baruch Hu told me I did.
Who are they speaking through?
Usually Pinchas. Almost every time it's Pinchas. If it's not Pinchas, then it's another Navi, but it's clear. It almost clearly it's Pinchas up until this. We'll see what's about to happen.
But anyway, I never said this before. It's the first time I'm saying this.
Which one?
Saying,
no, this is actually the fourth time that he's told them, I've had enough with you. But this is, we had it already before by Devorah, we had it before by Gido, and then by Avimelech. It says it clearly that they were upset, or maybe even in the beginning. So it has been said before.
And these people that already see me in the different generations, people that already.
Different generations.
Not people that have seen, like.
I don't think so. I think everybody's
seen. Three times, like, they're the same thing.
Yeah, it must be the guys have died. I can't imagine that the lifespan back then was big, unless it was, you know, special people. But Yehovah Benezor, Hashem Kaptan, we have sinned. Do whatever is good in your eyes. But please save us right now. What they're saying is the following. Listen, we understand we got to be punished, and we get that. We don't have to be handed into the hands of the Ammonim. The Ammon people are cruel. We don't want cruel masters. Give us anybody else, but just not Ammon. You want to put us in the hands of the police, then fine, but don't put us in the hands of Ammon. So Benezor did a job. They removed their strange gods from amongst them. By Yahweh with Hashem, and they served God that teaches our national Amo Yisrael. And the Kurdish people could no longer take it. He couldn't take the toil that Bnei Yisrael learned. By Yahweh with Ammon, the Bnei Ammon cried out, by Yahweh with Gilad, and they camped by Gilad, by Yahweh with Bnei Yisrael, by Yahweh with Mitzvah. So Bnei Yisrael gathered, and they camped by Mitzvah. And you should know, Mitzvah was the traditional gathering place for Bnei Yisrael. This is where they go. There could have been an altar there from the times of Yoshua. This is where they went when they needed to gather together by the times of Yoshua, and they treated it as a holy place. Remember, they did not have a Beit HaMikdash yet. They still only had a Mishkan. There was no official place that was holy. So they went back to their original place to redo the promises to God. That's what they were trying to say over here. Now, Ammon, right, they pretended to go back a little bit. They wanted to make a stronger attack, and they wanted to make a trick to see how many Jews would come out to fight them, and then they would go en masse to that area and destroy them all. But we're going to see God tricks them. By Yomro Amsari Gilad Israel, the people of Gilad, the people said, Mia Isha Shayakuli Lacham the Bnei Ammon Yelarosh Lacho Yoshe Gilad. Whoever can wage war against the Bnei Ammon, he will be the head for all the people of Gilad. Whoever can do this, he is the guy. They were weak. They didn't know what to do. They had no idea. They were spiritually weak. They were physically weak. They didn't have confidence. They didn't have leadership. So they didn't know what to do. Who's going to be in charge of the nation? After Yarek Yeladi died, who's going to be in charge? Yitzhak HaGiladi, it says in Perek Yud Aleph, it's starting off Perek Yud Aleph, Yitzhak HaGiladi Haya Gibor Chayil. He was a very strong, mighty warrior. Haibu Ben Isha Zona. He was the son. There's three different translations here. Item number one, she was really a prostitute, and his father had been together with a prostitute and gave birth to Yiftach. Or she was a concubine. And concubines back then had the same status as a Zona. They were not considered real wives. That's that. Others say it was Gilad's wife, but she came from a different tribe. And intertribal marriages was considered incestuous. And that's why she was called an Isha Zona. But Yolid Gilad is Yiftach. I'm sorry? Well, yeah, that is true. Yeah, the opposite. What would you call it then? Prostitution? It would be called like prostitution. Yeah, you're right. It's not incestuous. Incestuous is the exact opposite. It would be family related. But Yolid Gilad is Yiftach. Gilad gave birth to Yiftach. But Talid Asia's Gilad Lo Bani. The wife of Gilad gave birth to him regular children. But Yiglu Bnei Isha, the men of that woman, grew up. But Yigorsh was Yiftach. They got rid of Yiftach. But Yolid Lo Tin Kobe Zabinukidan Isha Fatsato. You cannot inherit in our father's house because you're from another wife. Now that was 100% not right. We all know halakhically the inheritance of a father goes down to all of his sons. It doesn't make a difference whether they were from a different wife, this wife, whatever it was. But they could have had a legitimate argument. If she was a Zona, a real prostitute, then what could they claim? They could claim that our father is not your father. That she was prostituting with other people. That's that. If they were claiming that she was a concubine, they could claim the exact same thing. We have a halacha that rove be'ilos go after the father. Most times the woman has bia go after the husband of that lady. But if she's a concubine, you don't have such a rove. They said, you're not like us. So we can take you away from an inheritance. Okay? But what happened over here... Normally she is, but there's not a robe that she's together with a Baal. The only halacha of robe goes by a husband and a wife of Baal and Aisha. It does not apply to a Pilagish. It's never used for a Pilagish. But the pasuk is telling us straight out, Gilad was the father of Yiftach. That wasn't a doubt by the Torah itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew who the real father was. You should also know, by the way, that it's clear that Bnei Yisrael was going to have to apologize here. They were going to have to apologize to and never be ashamed to admit your mistakes. You made a mistake in getting rid of Yiftach. Yiftach was a great guy. They shouldn't have done this. This was the wrong thing for them to do, so now they have to apologize when they need him. But Yibrach,
it's interesting that they went from Ben Isha Zona to the next person, Ben Isha Acheres.
Ben Isha Acheres, another woman, meaning the real wife, so to speak, of Yiftach. That's what it's going to be. So they were the children of another woman who Yiftach's father, Gilad, had definitely fathered and definitely sired. That they knew about. This, look at Pasuk Gimel. By Yibrach, Yiftach, the Me'achav, he ran away. They spared Tov, he lived in the land of Tov, he's Vatol, Yiftach, Anashim, Reikim, Vayitim, Yimo. He gathered together empty-headed men, and they went out with them. Now look, guys, if you look in the little picture over here, you'll see, here's the villages of Yair, right around here. Yavish, Gilad, Beis Arbelah. It's possible this is where Gilad was, maybe Ramoth Gilad. Anyway, he ran away from them, went further from Eretz Yisrael to the land called Tov. Probably the reason why it was called Tov is because the river ended right around there. It probably was a very fertile land. This is in Jordan. I've never been to Jordan before. I can't imagine Jordan being there. You've been there, right?
Yeah.
Is it a fertile land?
I just went to Aqaba.
Oh, so it's just desert and mountains.
Yeah.
Okay. There might be parts of it that are very nice. I don't even know if this is Jordan anymore. It's possible this is already Saudi Arabia. I have absolutely no idea. But the name of the city was called Tov. Now, why is it called Tov? So we've got a lot over here. Some say that Tov was the name of a powerful man. Others say that Tov was a beautiful place. Although it was not Eretz Yisrael, but it had the qualities of Eretz Yisrael, which made it a very, very nice place. And that's the idea behind it. It's hard to say that a land outside of Eretz Yisrael is called good, but it's possible that because Yiftach was such a great man, he made the land good. Okay? Now, Yiftach was a good person, but he was not learned in Torah. And he was unwilling to relinquish power or honor. When he had power, when he had honor, he would not give it up. He was the CEO of the company, he would not take himself down no matter what, and we're going to see that was his undoing. His pride was his biggest problem. But he was a good man, just did not learn Torah enough. Now, if you notice over here, it says that there were empty-headed people. Before, by Abimelech, it also says he had Anoshim Reikim, but it also has on the word Upochazim. Reikim and Pochazim means they were empty-headed and fickle. meaning they kept going from one side to the other side. So they just didn't care. These guys cared. They wanted a lot, but they didn't know how to learn Torah, and Yitzhak couldn't teach them. So that was the problem with these people over here. That's the idea behind it. Others say that they were worthless, they were empty-headed because they had no property. They just didn't have any money, and that's the reason why they're called Reagan. But you know, as the days passed by, Yilchum b'nei Amon and Yisrael, b'nei Amon fought b'nei Yisrael, v'yikasher nochomu b'nei Amon and Yisrael, v'yochus zikne gil lakach z'yitzach meretz Tov. The zikne gil had went to take Yitzach from the land of Tov. They said, we need you. Come, you will be our leader. Yilchum b'nei Amon will fight against b'nei Amon. Now, the problem is that they didn't specify what they wanted, and you got to be specific. I should be your leader when? I should be your leader in order to fight, and then you'll kick me out afterward? Yitzhak said, I'm not going to do that. Vayom Yitzhak Lizik Negilat in Pasuk Zion. Halawatim Sinesimosi, don't you guys hate me? But of course, Shunim Beisabi, you got rid of me from the house of my father. You kicked me out. Matuah Basim Eliyasa Kasher Tzalachem. Now that you have pain, now you're coming to me? Tell me the truth. Do you really want me here or do you not want me here? I want to hear the absolute truth. Why are you coming out? He was definitely suspicious why he was being chosen over anything else. But he did feel, and that you could say that maybe his brothers were among the elders, maybe the brother, maybe the Zakenim were responsible for letting Yiftach be kicked out. But he said, like, why are you coming to me right now? Now, therefore, we have come to you now. We want you to come with us now. You will fight against B'nai Amon, but you will be ahead for all the Yoshe Gilad. Notice he does not say a king. He said you'll be ahead for the Yoshe Gilad, and that will be that. Okay? So that's what we're going to have, and we're going to have just that. We want that to be good enough for it. Okay? Now, the Yomar Yiftach was Zikne Gilad, Meshiva Matamosi, if you are going to make me the leader, Li Lachom Benamon, in order to fight against Benamon, Nasar Shamo Sam Lefanoni, and God puts them in my hands in front of me, Anokhi Yelachom Larosh, then I will be your leader. Yiftach did not want the leadership for nothing. He wanted it if he proved to be a good warrior. If he wins the war, then he'll become the leader. He said, is that okay with you guys? I am going to be your king if I win the war. If I don't win the war, you don't have to take
it. Yeah, but he puts a huge caveat on it too.
What?
With regards to God's protection.
He's really like putting it up there. You should know something. Yitzhak did not get constant nebuah. He wasn't like any of the other children. Yitzhak got nebuah in a different way. He got like a feeling and he's like, I should go fight now. That was that, similar to what Gideon had. Similar, but not the exact same thing. Yiftach was not the same because he didn't have Torah. He didn't have the ability to learn. He just didn't do it the same way. So what did Zikne Gilad be? What was Zikne Gilad of Yiftach? Hashem Yeshomea Benosenu in Loki Dvar Chakinasa. God will be between us if we don't do exactly as you say. They took an oath because they didn't want to whatever, but they made it unconditional. They said, they made no mention of victory. They said, you will be our leader if you come with us. Okay, we will do exactly. But Yitzhak said, no, I'm only going to be the leader if I win. He made it conditional on them. And he said, it's only going to be if I win. I'm not going to be your leader no matter what. I will be your leader if I win. By Yelech Yiftach from Zikne Gilad, he went with the elders of Gilad. They asked Simo almost all Lam Larosh, and they made him a head, Ula Katsin, and an officer. But Yitzhak Yitzhak Koldavar, Lutnei Hashem, the Mitzvah. And Yitzhak spoke out his words in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Mitzvah. He davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. Now, here's what he was thinking. Yiftach had a nevuah that the next king of Israel was going to be at Mitzvah. There had never been a king since Moshe, possibly Yoshua. But he knew the next king was going to be a king at Mitzvah. Now that king ended up being Shaul HaMelech, who got made king at Mitzvah. But Yiftach thought that it was referring to him. So he got up and he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, please Hashem, let me be worthy of the role of being king over all of Israel. But he wasn't given it. And we'll see why, what happens later on. The Malachim were sent out, messengers were sent out to the king of Ammon, Lamor. What is there between me and you that you've come to wage war against my land? So he said, King of Ammon, what's wrong with you? Why are you fighting this war? And he said, it's definitely better to make peace beforehand and everything like that. But Yitzhak wasn't afraid of war. He was a mighty warrior, and everybody knew he was a mighty warrior. He wasn't worried about that whatsoever. But he said, I want to know if there's a valid complaint that you have against us, Amon. Why are you here? When we left Egypt, we didn't fight you. We didn't fight Moab, we didn't fight Ammon, we didn't fight Edom. So we have no war with you. We don't want to fight you. You're from Lot. We're from Avram Avinu. We have no shaykes to you. So if I don't have to fight you, I don't want to go. Is there anything that you want from us that's specific that's against that? And that's a nice thing to do to say Allah. But Yomar Malach Ammon, El Malach Yiftach. He said to the messengers of Yiftach, He Lokach Yisro, SRT. He did not refer to Yiftach by name because he didn't want to recognize the kingship of Yiftach. So you're not the leader. Nobody made you leader. Who are you? I don't know who you are. Bnei Yisrael took my land. Ba'alozo mi Mitzrayim, when they came up from Mitzrayim, mi Arnon ba'ari Yabok, from Arnon until the Yabok River, ari Yardin, ato hashivu asen b'shalom. Oy. Now, I want you to return it to us in peace. That's what Ammon asked for. Okay, so he said, again, he ignored Yiftach completely. The Yosod Yiftach, but Yusam Alchem Omel Ben Ammon, he sent another messenger over to the king of Ammon, the Yomelo, Ko Amar Yiftach. You notice what he said? So says Yiftach, I am the king. Address me personally. Don't treat me as a piece of garbage. I want to make it clear that I am the king here. Lo Lokach Yisrael Zeretz Moab, Zeretz Ben Ammon. We did not take the land of Ammon and the land of Moab. There are going to be four answers that he's going to give over here. Number one, we never conquered their land. We conquered Sihon's land and Og's land, because Sihon and Og took over the land from Ammon right before the Jews came. And when Sihon and Og, they didn't even want to fight Sihon and Og, the Jews. They were willing to go through, but Sihon came out to wage war against them. They were told to fight Sihon, and then when Og came to take care of his brother, Sihon was his brother, then they killed Og as well. But they said, we didn't want to fight them. We didn't want to take this land in the first place. But number one, it wasn't your land. Maybe it was your land years and years and years ago, but it was already taken away by Sihon and Og before we came. We took this land from Sihon and Og. That's number one. We went through the Yamsuf and we came to this place called Kadesh. We sent messengers over to the king of Edom saying, let us go through your land. Melech Edom didn't listen to us. King of Moab didn't listen to us. So we sat in Kadesh. We did not go through. We respected your borders and we lived with peace among you. We did not do anything. It was your own fault for not letting us pass. We went in the desert. We turned around the land of Edom. That's Eretz Moab. We didn't even come to Ammon. Ammon was on top of all that. Ammon is in upper Saudi Arabia. We didn't even come to your land. We came nowhere near you guys. We went on the east side of the land of Moab. We sat on the side of Arnon. Because Arnon is the Gvul Moab. We did not live in Moab whatsoever. We sent messengers to Sihon. We want to go through your land up until our place. But they didn't allow us to abor Bigbulo or go in his borders. Now by Sihon we didn't have a choice. We had to get to Eretz Yisrael. The only way in was through Sichon's land, so we asked Sichon. But he didn't. He gathered all his people. Yachnu b'yotzah. They camped by Yotzah. By Yilachon Yisrael, they fought. Bnei Yisrael. By Yitzhak Hashem Elohi Yisrael, Sichon. That's called Mobiyad Yisrael. They were given into our hands. By Yaakov, they hit them. By Yerz Yisrael, it's called Eretz Amori. They drove them all out. Yerzhav Arzahi. By Yerz Yisrael, it's called Bo Amori. And they Arnon Dadi Abok, Minam Midbar, Vadi Yardin. We took all that land. If you look over here, right around here, Yachatz. What's the name over here? Yotzah. This is it. This is the Yachatz over here. That's where they fought, and they were sitting right here, waiting. We didn't go through Ammon at all. Ammon was right up there. We went up here, and we went there. We didn't even enter the land of Moab. We went nowhere near there. We went up here, and then we were trying to go through there. That's all we wanted. And he didn't want us. Where'd they come in? They came in right, look for Yericho. Yericho. They went right there. They went right through there, and Gilgal was the first place they went. So we didn't want to go through your land. We came nowhere near you. That's the point over here, and that's what we're trying to say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispossessed the Amorim of their lands. You know what I'm saying? You're going to take possession of it? In other words, you think that you got the land for something? No, this was not our land or your land. It was Sihon's land, and it had been given to them by God. There is nothing that we're talking about right here. You didn't do anything before this. This is a bit sarcastic. Everything that Kamosh, your God, has allowed you to get, that's what you get. It's called Shahor, Shashamalakim, Beneno, Osin, Yerosh. Whatever God gives us, that's what we're going to get. I don't know if it, it sounds sarcastic. Whatever your God gives you, take. Whatever our God gives you, we'll take. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to complain. It's been a long time already. Do you think you're better than Balak ben Zippor, the king of Moab? In Yisrael, he fought with the Jews. In Nochum, Nochum, Bam, do you really think that you're going to wage war against us? The Shav Yisrael, the Cheshbon, when we lived in Cheshbon, Ubno Sal, Cheshbon is right around here. Where is it? Right there. And the surrounding areas. Uba Aror, Uba Benosel. And in Aror, in all of its areas, where's Aror? Somewhere, Aror, they're right there. Uba Chola, Arim Ashol, Ar Yide Arnon. In all those cities, Shlosh Mel Shana, for 300 years we've been living there. Madul Yid Salcha Bezahi. And that's the main claim. It's been 300 years and you haven't claimed anything. Why have you not claimed anything? For 300 years you haven't said anything. So now you're coming up? That's the idea behind it. There's nothing there. Now, some say that the king of Ammon knew astrology. And he knew through astrology that his children were going to be kings over Israel. The land of Israel. And he was right. The king of Ammon gave birth to a daughter. The daughter's name was Naamah. That daughter Naamah, maybe it's a granddaughter, married Shlomo Melech's son, Shlomo Melech I should say, and had a son named Rechavam. So he was right. His children were on the throne. Rechavam ended up being on the throne from that. It was a true prophecy, and that's why Ammon was willing to do this. But he was 100% wrong. Now, the 300 years altogether is very, very difficult. I'm going to show you a little chart over here. Check it out. How they got up to 300 years. There's a lot of different opinions. Seder Olam, Sefer HaKabbalah, and the Ralbag. Okay, so Yeshua ruled for 28 years or 27 years, depending, after the 40 years in the desert. There's a kasha how exactly that happened, but that's not for right now. Othniel ben Kenaz ruled for 40 years. Some say the elders were involved. Ehud ben Gera ruled for 80 years. Shamgar was either 0, 1, or 23 years. That's an achlokas. Devorah was 40, according to everybody. Then you might add on Midian for 7 years. Gidon was 40 according to everybody. Abimelech was 3 according to everybody. And then he got Tola 23, right? Yotir, Tola's Ralbag missed somebody over here, but he should be over there. Tola and Yotir were 23 and 22 that we have. And then servitude to Ammon is 18. Servitude to Ammon is 18. 293, 301 minus 1 year of Tola counts twice. And that's 300 altogether. If you add on Yitach, 6 years, you get 300 altogether. Over here, 293 is close enough. Okay, so he said it's 300 years altogether. And then all the others seem to be pretty good. There's Ibtson, Elon, Abdon, Shimshon, Eli, Shmuel, Shaul, David, Shlomo. That's clear up until the years that they ended up counting to the very, very end. So that seems to be everything is agreed upon over there. The only questions are how to get to 300 over here. Regardless, he said it's been 300 years altogether. Here we go, guys. It says, Vanochi lo chatasgoi. In Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, I have not sinned against you. Okay? The Atos is the Oset raw. We lachem biyish. And you have done evil by fighting against me, said Yitzach. Yish pot Hashem ha-shopet ha-yom bein b'nei Yisrael bein ha-bnei Ammon. May God judge this day between us and you. Okay? So that's that. There's a line. Jews are judged during the day. Why during the day? Because it's while we're doing mitzvahs. Can't do too many mitzvahs at night. In fact, there's only one mitzvah that you're chayv to do at night. You're not chayv to do during the day as well.
Is that why we have to do
Krishna? No, because Krishna you also do during the day. Think of it. It's one mitzvah. That's very good. Eating matzah could be that during the day as well, but really it's the Haggadah. Haggadah is the only mitzvah that Sadio writes as Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is the only mitzvah that is only chayiv at night.
Really?
That's it. Because matzah in theory is all 7 days. There's a machlokas, the chav chasam and aleph, and the chav chasam and beis and psa. Tetzvav, tetzvav. You are correct. That the Gemara in Sukkim that Chavchaz discusses Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos and goes into it. You are 100% correct. But really, let's call it the mitzvos of the night of Pesach. And you know why, by the way? You know why that night is different? Because we all hold that Lil Shemurim. It's a night where we're watched over, and it's not really a night. It's considered like day. And that's the pshat. I'm sorry, what about?
That's the Yom Kippur.
With Yom Kippur day, including the night before. Meaning there are mitzvahs that take place at night along with the day, together with the day.
The only
mitzvahs of Pesach night, let's call it that.
Is that
the Pesach night, the only mitzvahs of night.
Ne'ilah before...
That's not the reason why Ne'ilah has special... The reason why it's got to be done during the day is because the chiyuvim of that Shemona Esrei is during the day of Yom Kippur. You can extend it a little bit, but it's not for Yud Aleph. Tishrei. You have to be judged on Yom Tishrei. That's the reason why our final chasima happens right then. But that's not a mitzvah that they made right either. But if you think about it, it's 613 mitzvahs. It's the only mitzvah that is done specifically at night. Pesach stuff. We'll call it Pesach stuff. Korban Pesach eating. The Haggadah. Stuff like that. That's the only time that they're involved. It's amazing. So the pshat is, Jews are judged during the day. Non-Jews are normally judged at night. Why? It's a favorable judgment for them. It's when they're not sinning. Meaning we get judged during the day when we have the chance to do mitzvahs. They're judged at night when they're not sinning. So that's rachamim for them. Yitzchak said, let them be judged in the day. So that they're judged according to their sins, not according to their... That's a grape shot from the Malvin. That's where he brings it down from. The king of Amun did not listen. He had the spirit of God right over here. But Yavor is Gilad. He passed by Gilad as Menashe. But Yavor is Mitzvah Gilad. And Mitzvah Gilad over Bnei Amun. He passed by Mitzvah Gilad and he went all the way to Bnei Amun. If you look right here, I'm sorry about the little map up here, but if you look, Amun was living right there. Mitzvah Gilad is right there. And you can see Amun went right there, and then they ran away. When they came out against them, they traveled this way, that way, and you see them running away the entire time. They ran away this way, they ran away that way. That's where they're going. So Yitzhak is right there, came from Tov, Tormoz Gilad, came down to Mitzpah, and then afterward chased after Amun this way and that way. Three little arrows, those are missiles. Anyway, but that's what they ended up doing. But Yidar Yitzhak Neder Lashem, and here is the, you don't want to say this about Yitzhak, but the stupid Neder that he made. He swore, he made a promise to Hashem. Vayomar, and he said, Im nason titenes bnei Amun biyadi, if you put the people of Amun in my hands, the first thing that comes out the doors of my house will cross you to meet me, b'shuvi b'shalom bnei Amun, when I come back in peace from the people of Amun, Hashem, it will be for God, ola, and I will bring it up as a korban ola. He went there, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them in his hands. He killed them from Aroer all the way to the city called Minis, right? Esrim Ir, 20 cities, about Adol Kramim, Makkah Zolomot, a huge Makkah. But Yikanu Bnei Amun Bnei Israel, and they were knocked down the entire time. By the way, number one, notice how Yitzhak specifically said, if God puts them, if you give them into my hands. He knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge, and that was the goodness. He was a guy who may not have learned very well, but he knew exactly who was in charge, and that God was the person in charge, and not anybody else there. However, he made a dumb neder. He came back to Mitzvah, okay, so to his house. That already, by the way, is weird. How did he have a house in Mitzvah?
It was all the way up.
He lived in Tobol.
Yeah.
So where did he get a house in Mitzvah? It could be.
Well, that's where he came from originally. That's where he got kicked out.
It could very well be that Mitzvah. But he didn't get kicked out of Mitzvah. No, he got kicked out of Ramos Gilad originally, where the rest of Menashe was. So it could be he brought his family to Mitzvah. It could also be that he got married at Mitzvah. And maybe he had a really young daughter. I don't know how young she was. Who knows how young she was? Regardless, she came out to greet him. And Ibito Yotis Lacrosse, she came out to greet him. Tupim and Macholos with drums and with dances. Braki Yisibel, she came out by herself. Ein lo mimenu beino bas, he had no other son or daughter. By the way, notice, that doesn't mean she came out by herself, meaning on her own. That would have been Kolisha. She came out with other people. But she was the first one to come out of his house.
Why did God allow that to happen?
No, it's the opposite. We'll talk about that in a second.
He didn't do anything. The guy just decided to make an edit.
Like, Yikiro so-so when he saw her. You're right. Because Papa could have made her, you know, sick one day. You know, and then she would have come. Like, Yikiro so-so when he saw her, by Yikras Begadot, he tore his clothes. My Yomar, aha, biti, oh, whoa, my daughter. Hachrea Hikratini, you have brought me down low. The Ata Yisab Okroi, you are now my trouble. I open up my mouth to God. I cannot go back. Here, God wants more than just a pious person. You have to learn Torah. The biggest problem over there, if Yitzhak would have learned Torah, he would have understood that a neder can be released. It might not be written in the Torah itself directly, but if you learn the Torah correctly, you understand there is such a thing called Hataras Nedarim. We do it every Erev Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre.
Yeah,
there is such a concept, yeah.
Where do you pull that out from Sot Pasna?
What, Hataras Nedarim?
Yeah.
The Gemara actually says Hataras Nedarim is Poreach Ba'am. avir. It's flying around in the air and has no yisod. Nidalin is a very difficult limud because there's not a lot of psukim in the Torah about it. It's the beginning of Parshas Matos, and there are tons of halachos, a whole mesecta of Nidalin, in which we have to understand what it's referring to. So it's poreach the avir, but it's there for those who want to learn. You want to learn under a Rebbe, learn under your Rebbe, and you'll learn that there's a halachal emotion. We see that, that there's such a concept of hazaras Nidalin. It's there, but you have to know about it. Okay, we all know that human beings are not fit for sacrifices, okay? There are three people who made requests in a bad way. It's a Gemara in Tainus and Daf Gimel. The first guy who made a request in a bad way, Eliezer Eben Avraham. Whatever woman comes out first, right, meet me at the well and gives me water,
I got
fine, and gave him Rivka. Okay, gave him Rivka, and Rivka came out. It could have been anybody. It could have been a mamzer. It could have been a woman who was lame. It could have been a woman who was blind. But no, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him Rivka.
Second
person that made a mistake, massive mistake, and now he asked for something. Anybody know?
Moshe.
No, it wasn't Moshe. Okay.
No.
Moshe
Rabbeinu
Binyamin, do you know?
No.
Shaul HaMelech said that whoever kills Goliath, I will give him my daughter. I will give him my daughter. And it ended up being that it was Dagon. It could have been a Mamzer. It could have been a Goli. That could have happened. And yet it ended up being Dagon HaMelech. Now Cohen, if you remember, said the same thing. Remember? Whoever captures the city of Kiryat Sefer
will take
my daughter.
Right.
Aksa. And it was Othniel ben Kenaz, but he's not on the list. Why? Because number one, he might have been talking about learning. Kiryat Sefer might not be a physical city, it might have been learning, and therefore it's not on this list. Because he asked for somebody who's a big Kamal Chacham. Normally a big Kamal Chacham is going to be somebody who's going to be normal. That's number one. Number two, right, it could be that he knew that it was so well protected, you would need divine help. And thus he knew it was going to be okay. That's that. Regardless, that's the idea. Plus it could be that there was nobody of dubious ancestry in the times of Caleb ben Yefuneh. Caleb ben Yefuneh, the people that were there at the time, were the people from Yoshua. They were tremendous coming. They were in the army. It could be that's how he knew. Regardless, Yiftach did not have that mercy. And the answer why is because Yiftach was not as pious. That's the answer. He didn't learn Torah. He did not deserve to have the extra amount. He was not Shaul HaMelech. He was not Kalev. He was not Eliezer Eben Avraham, who was Dolu Omashkami Torah's Rabbo. He was not. He was completely different. And this teaches him how he should have been. He should have not been stubborn, and that was his major mistake.
Yeah, but by the time Shaul made that neder, he was on the downslope anyways.
It doesn't matter. He was an unbelievable Talmid Chacham.
Really?
You're right. Yes, 100%. He was an unbelievable Talmid. We're going to talk about his Talmid Chacham. He learned with Shmuel and Avi. We're not talking about a slouch. He learned with Shmuel and Avi.
Yeah, but at that point, he was turning out to be a slouch.
Nonetheless, he was still an unbelievable person. And that, you know, Rabbi Akiva himself made a massive mistake. Rabbi Akiva used to say to Gemara Mesachim that if I ever made a Tzemeted Talmid Chacham, I would bite him like a donkey. Right? So Talmidim said, so Rabbi, say like a dog. And he said, no, donkeys break bones. That's what he said. Now, what does that mean? It means he didn't care for Talmid Chachamim or their Torah or anything they stood for. He couldn't care less. He mamish didn't care for them whatsoever. So Rabbi Akiva made a massive mistake. And this is what really got him. When he first started learning, he saw a dead man, a dead body in the road. So he wanted to bury him. So he put him on his back, carried him 4 miles to a cemetery, and then put him down and buried him inside the cemetery. As he went to the basement, he told him all about his good deed. And the rabbi said to him, you, every step you took with that mace is as if you murdered him. Because the halacha is, when you see a dead body on the road, you have to bury him right there. He owned that road. Unless he's missing a body part, a limb, you have to bury him right there. There's a reason why he was there. Now you see how important it is to learn Torah. You murdered a guy. For 4 miles, you murdered a guy by doing such a thing. That's why you have to learn Torah. That's what they told Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva started studying even harder and became the person that he is today. That's where he got it from. But Tomri loved all. She said to him, my father, you did open your mouth to God. Do to me whatever came out of your mouth. Since God has done all this vengeance from your enemies, from the people of Ammon. She said to her father, yes, stay, let me go for 2 months. And I will go down to the mountains. When was the last time you went down to a mountain, guys? That's not very